Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
2 days in for Biden, what workers are saying, how to be vocal on the Keystone Pipeline. And today on the show, working class perspectives and the United Steelworkers. Good afternoon and welcome to the Friday, January 22nd edition of America's Workforce, where we are available now on Pandora. And the long list includes now Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and like I just mentioned, Pandora. And when you get an opportunity, just sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis and eventually give us a rating. 5 stars would be greatly appreciated. We have 2 guests on the show today. Mark Dan is going to be joining us. This is a segment we always do on the fourth Friday of every month, and it's called Working Class Perspectives. And this was started by John Russo and his wife, Sherry Lincoln, at least a dozen years ago out of Youngstown State University, and both now work at Georgetown. Mark Dan, you may remember that name. He's been on the show before. He is a former attorney general in the state of Ohio, and now he runs the Dan Law Firm, which deals a lot with consumer law, predatory financing. He wrote a really interesting piece about how our new president should respond to the insurrection. And he takes it even further. He points out arresting those responsible for the attack on the Capitol and the masterminds of the well-orchestrated insurrection inside and outside the government would be the first step toward restoring that hope. Biden needs to set aside the conciliatory and centrist instincts that kept both the man of hope and the president who promised hope and change from living up to their rhetoric. To recapture the imagination of the people who have lost faith in government and the Democratic Party, Biden and his party must deliver on big, bold initiatives that address the problems that inspired the resurrection. In other words, you got to go A lot deeper. Why did that happen? We need to satisfy the people that are upset with government. And he takes it, like I said, even further. He should not allow his Justice Department to do what former presidents have done, not allow CEOs and corporate officers to walk away scot-free when they break the law. You remember the financial meltdown back in 2008, 2009. All the big shots that were involved, nobody went to jail. No one. And how many people got screwed? Literally millions. In fact, there's still people digging out from that today. Mark gets into proposing to extend eviction and foreclosure protections. And you hear a lot about helping renters. Well, what about the landlords? They're hurting too. We'll talk about the federal minimum wage, which is ridiculously low. Support bankruptcy reform. This is a big one. And I'll tell you, our former president was real good at filing for bankruptcy. And so many people, I mean, millions of people have done that because there was a change in bankruptcy law years ago. And apparently Biden had a role in that. That's got to be changed. Because all you got to do is, boom, hey, file for bankruptcy. Don't pay what you owe, and you start a clean slate, do it all over again, and then file bankruptcy again. This is going to be a good conversation with Mark Dan, and he is very, very vocal on these issues. Tom Conway, president of the United Steelworkers, will be joining us later in the show. Great guy, proud sponsor of America's Workforce, comes from a union family. His dad was very active in the International Union of Operating Engineers, and his mother worked in a brush factory where she successfully organized a union and negotiated labor contracts. So he's got some good roots there in labor. And he was elected president when Leo Gerard stepped down. Boy, Leo Gerard's got to be jumping up and down right now. We've had him on the show many, many times when Trump was in office, and he was just trying to get out of his skin. It was ridiculous. We'll talk about the new administration. And Pat Gallagher mentioned this yesterday, and again, this goes into the category elections matter. The steel workers are just elated because Biden put a steel worker in a leadership role in the Labor Department dealing with worker safety. This is fantastic news. It really is fantastic news. And the guy's name is Jim Frederick. And on the steelworkers' website, usw.org, Tom is quoted as saying, "There is no stronger advocate for worker safety in this country than Jim Frederick. He brings to OSHA not just a deep commitment to safer workplaces for all Americans, but the expertise and experience to get the job done right." Listen to his background. Until 2019, Frederick served as assistant director and principal investigator for the U.S. Health, Safety, and Environment Department. In that role, he provided oral and written testimony to congressional panels and federal agencies that led to progress on countless workplace safety issues, and that includes workplace violence, beryllium, silica, and ergonomics. So this is a great pick. And it'll be interesting to hear from Tom how this actually materialized. Was he on the short list? We'll find out. Tom's also excited about infrastructure. Biden said build back better during the campaign. That means roads, bridges, steel goes into all those components. And you know, with this guy in the White House, it's going to be American union-made steel. And we'll hold him to that. So Tom Conway will be our second guest right here on America's Workforce. So speaking of the inauguration, we've got some more comments here from various labor leaders. Trumka pointed out that the workers' first agenda needs to take off. And we talked about this on show probably about 2 weeks ago. That's when they announced it. And there's a website you can go to, workersfirstagenda.org. Trumka said working people have been struggling far too long against unfair wages, benefit cuts, and attacks on our right to form a union in our workplaces. Well, that ends now. And they're going to push the PRO Act on that. And there's the Food and Commercial Workers Union. They tweeted out yesterday that Biden and Harris are ready to build a brighter future for our country's hardworking families. You have to keep in mind the food and commercial workers have been devastated by the virus. They lost a lot of members, meatpacking plants for one. And Mark Perrone, their president, said, "Today's a new day, and we're looking forward to the future." Randy Weingarten and Machinist President Bob Martinez, they are real excited about a pro-worker agenda. Randy Weingarten heads the American Federation of Teachers. This is what Martinez said. "The machinists and our 600,000 members, no matter how they voted, are counting on this administration to lift our nation out of this time of despair and bring jobs, dignity, and democracy back home." John Costa heads the Amalgamated Transit Union. He said, "By helping Biden and Harris win, we prove once again the power of working people standing together." Betty Pringle, president of the National Education Association, which, by the way, is the nation's largest union for educators. And she said, "Educators are encouraged not only by Biden's leadership, but also knowing there's finally a true partner in the White House who will listen, value the ideas, and act in the best interests of students, educators, as well as families." And then there's Mary Kate Henry. She heads the SEIU, Service Employees Union. They've been very vigilant in the fight for 15. And she said, "Working people will take a moment to mark how far we've come. But now we will double down on the work that needs to be done to ensure everyone can join a union, regardless of where they work or what job they do." And then she pointed out the importance of essential workers. National Nurses United is coming out with some strong demands, and they are pushing OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, to produce an emergency standard forcing firms to protect workers and customers against the community spread of the virus. The Teamsters are also saying we need a beefed up workplace environment. It's a good way of putting it. Real good way of putting it. Then there's the group Public Citizen, and they are advocating for open, transparent government stripped of corrupt corporate clout. That's long, long overdue. No doubt about that. National Kosh. This is a great organization. KoshNetwork.org. This is a worker health and safety coalition. And they've been very, very vocal during the Trump administration. And they pointed out yesterday that Biden's executive orders to protect workers and immediately strengthen our nation's response to COVID-19 are urgently needed first steps on a long road to reversing the devastating impact of the pandemic. Jessica Martinez is co-executive director of National Kosh. She said, American workers are sick, dying, and broke after a year of a deadly pandemic and a failed response by our federal government. Among the more than 400,000 deaths in the U.S. from COVID-19, an unknown number are frontline workers who were exposed on the job. And then she pointed out about Biden signing an order calling on OSHA to issue clear guidance to employers to protect workers and reduce the spread of COVID-19. Going in the right direction. Now, Keystone. Here's the latest on Keystone. The building trades, the operating engineers, National Association of Manufacturers are all gathering together to try to save this project. And as I indicated yesterday, we're trying to get some of those people on the show to talk about the strategy. I can tell you this. There is a union-backed petition on this website. You might want to jot this down. WeSupportThis.org. WeSupportThis.org. And in case you don't know, one of Biden's executive orders was to nix the Keystone Pipeline, which has been in the news for 12, 13 years. It's been a tug of war between the unions and environmentalists, and Biden said no. No, it's not good. So you might want to go to that website, and which I did and signed up yesterday. And it's pretty clear. Support families and businesses. It's about our future. The time to act is now. This project will strengthen U.S. energy security and enhance America's competitiveness. And all without spending a single dollar of U.S. government funds. This is a project between the United States and Canada. And the oil is actually coming from Canada. And like I said, it's been a long and very winding road. And hopefully, once there's enough people behind this with petitions like that and lobbying on behalf of the building trades, you might see a change of mind here. All right. We have to take a break. You'll listen to America's Workforce, our segment with Mark Dan, Ohio's former attorney general, coming up next. Don't go away.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialist, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after taking Zantac? If you have taken Zantac and have cancer, you may be entitled to compensation. The trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at kellyandferraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And we're back. It's America's Workforce. Don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. That would be at AWF Union Podcast. Before we get to Mark Dan, I got to read part of a letter from Representative Virginia Fox. She is the leader of the Education and Labor Committee for the Republicans. I always say on the show, when she speaks out about labor, you know the choice has to be good. And I'm referencing what Biden did on his first day. He got rid of the general counsel of the National Labor Relations Board, Peter Robb. And here's the significant part of the story, because Robb still had, I think it was anywhere between 8 and 10 months left. And this is the guy that Reagan put in place back in 1981 to fire the air traffic controllers. So he's anti-union all the way. But this is what Virginia Fox said. The Biden administration appears to be rewarding their friends in big labor on day one through this inappropriate demand that General Counsel Robb resign immediately or be forcibly removed. This outrageous ultimatum that Robb stepped down from his 4-year Senate appointment less than 10 months before the expiration of his term is unacceptable and flouts the National Labor Relations Act. And I urge President Biden to rescind this ill-advised and divisive action. Ain't going to happen, Virginia. Sorry. It's already done. He already left the office, I understand. Let's go to our live line right now. And listening patiently is Mark Dan, former Attorney General for the state of Ohio and contributor to the Working Class Studies blog. And this is our segment we call Working Class Studies right here on America's Workforce. Hey, Mark, Happy New Year to you and welcome back to the show. It's been a while. Thanks for joining us.
Fletch, thank you for having me. Talk about the fox in charge of the hen house. That's the one. That's her. That's who they've been talking about all these years. Trump tried to fire my good friend Rich Cordray in the very same fashion, and pressured him ultimately to resign. I hate to be stay in the farmyard, but what's good for the goose is good for the sauce here. They forced him out. They actually went to court to argue that the CFPB director ought to be at will. And now that same legal precedent is what Joe Biden's going to rely on to get rid of this, this union buster that Trump, the hero of too many of my working class friends, has put in place to try to take their jobs away, cut their pay, and make their lives worse.
Exactly. That's what he did. So, just to keep it straight here, it was okay for Trump to fire people, but it's not right. Okay for Biden. Is that right? Is that what I'm hearing from Virginia Fox?
That's apparently the Republican position. And there's one of these idiots, the QAnon lady from Georgia, apparently already has introduced articles of impeachment of Biden on his first day in office. There's really no end to the hypocrisy. That's for sure.
No, I just hope that settles down. That's a scary group. Very scary. Well, let's talk about your post here. And I think it's really important because we've got a Democrat in the White House. We've got a Democratic House and a Democratic Senate by a very thin margin. Country still divided. And, Biden's 2 days out. He's issuing a lot of executive orders. Hopefully some of these will take hold. We'll see what happens here. But in your piece, you want to take it even further. Let's start with the insurrection here, because I guess the impeachment hearings, McConnell said yesterday he wants to start sometime in February. I don't know when. And I know the Democrats want to start like yesterday. But let's start right there, because you were very, very adamant about, you know, holding people's feet to the fire, even beyond that. And get into the corporate climate, because there's a lot of corporate people that should be in jail today because of what they did to homeowners, like the financial crisis. You could pick it up from there. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, I think there's a risk. You know, Merrick Garland, I'm sure, you know, I'm sure he'll be a fine attorney general, but, you know, he made his bones as a prosecutor of white terrorists back with the Timothy McVeigh trial. That was his claim to fame. And I'm worried, and I saw in 2008, in the last financial crisis, that all the resources of the FBI and the Justice Department that could have been used to go after the criminals that stole several million Americans' homes were put into the war on terror, because we were still going through the, you know, those Middle East wars and all that. And I think there's going to be a temptation. And I'm not saying that these folks who caused the insurrection shouldn't be punished, but there's going to be a temptation to put all the resources of the Justice Department to that and to ignore this historic trend to stop punishing people who wear $1,000 suits and treat them differently than people who work for a living. To treat opioid manufacturers who have murdered literally millions of people in this country different than street level heroin dealers who have also murder one. I think it's important to punish the people that attack the Capitol, and I think that, and I have no doubt that that's going to be a priority. But I think that if Merrick Garland and his new team can put the same energy into going after those corporate criminals, I mean, even look in Ohio, we have a scandal going on where our House Speaker was bribed by First Energy, and the only people that ended up in the indictment list were the politicians, not the people that gave them the money. And wanted the largesse of, you know, and got the benefit of the deal. And so that trend continues, you know, today. The pharmaceutical manufacturers, the Sackler family, made a deal to pay $200 million and avoid, prosecution under the Trump administration. Now, there's still time to go after them, and they should do that. It relates to the insurrection because one of the things we have to do is try to win back the hearts and minds. The reason that so many of my friends and neighbors, and I'm sure you know people too, that were adamant Trump supporters and interested in alternate facts and not caring that they would follow the charlatan who would appoint guys like Peter Robb who wanted to take their job away, because why did people become so desperate and so angry that they would do that or storm the Capitol? And in my view, we have a whole generation of Americans in the working class that have grown up hopeless. And part of that hopelessness relates to the fact that they can't have a better life than their parents had. Part of that hopelessness relates to the fact that they grew up believing that there was one system of justice, equal justice under the law for everybody. And going back to the Clinton administration and Democrats and Republicans alike, and sadly, you know, everybody loves Barack Obama, and I do too. But damn it, Eric Holder, let those guys go. I mean, he was like the Keystone Cops in investigating the mortgage crisis, and so the fact that the guy that took their home away doesn't get punished, the guy that killed their daughter with opioids doesn't get punished. There is no equal justice. If you're rich, you have a different set of justice. Standard. And that's not okay. And part of our ability to stop the next thing from happening is to do what we can to restore the hope of America. So, you know, I've been focused, and I have for a long time, on this, as a former law enforcement guy and a lawyer who represents consumers, on equal justice in the criminal justice system. And that means, but that doesn't just mean letting people out who shouldn't be in jail. It means putting people in jail who aren't and should be. And we always forget that part of criminal justice reform. So that's one. But there's more. I mean, you got to help people. You got to give people jobs. You got to give people an opportunity. My friends, my neighbors from Youngstown, where I lived there for 20 years, and my neighbors in Lakewood now, Ohio, they want to get up in the morning and go to work. They don't want something for nothing. They want a job where they can be proud and go home and support their family and send their kid to college and do things that they want to do. And they want jobs that they traditionally are good at. And some people are good at, like, you know, I was lucky. I was good at book stuff and I got to be a lawyer, but you know, I have friends and relatives who are better at hammering nails and doing things that, with their hands, and they deserve the dignity, you know, as Sherrod Brown says, the dignity of work as well. You know, so one of the things I think is really important, and I spoke to a bunch of other labor folks a couple of days ago, is an infrastructure bill. Let's put, you know, 4 or 5 million Americans to work improving the infrastructure of this country. There's about $7 trillion of work that needs to be done on bridges and roads and public structures. And it's going to take skilled, hardworking Americans, many of, you know, in a government program like that, who will be paid at the prevailing wage rate to do that work. And so that needs to be a priority, not just of organized labor, but of the Biden administration. If they want to last beyond one term, if the Democrats in Congress want to expand their majorities, their very slim majorities, that's one of the things that's got to happen. They've got to raise the minimum wage. I mean, look, in Florida voted for Trump on the same day, voted by 60% to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Clearly, yeah, it's not just Democrats, it's not just labor leaders that want that minimum wage increased. And that's something that's easy to understand that they can do. I like this stuff about the Justice Department and going after the corporate criminals, because Biden doesn't need to get 60 votes in the Senate to do that. He can do that on his own. He can direct his Justice Department to not play favorites with his campaign supporters, with the folks on Wall Street, with the folks who traditionally commit those white collar crimes. No matter how good their lawyers are, no matter whether or not the assistant U.S. attorney or the justice or the assistant attorney general, you know, went to Harvard Law School with their lawyer, it shouldn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't make a difference. And that's totally in their control. Firing Peter Robb, totally in their control, sent us, I think, a strong message that they mean business about this stuff. You know, doing this stuff with Congress will be great if they can muster the 9 or 10 Republican votes they're going to need for every single major piece of legislation. But even if they can't, there is so much they can do administratively to really show the public the distribution of these vaccines. Let's make sure that we don't leave out people who are vulnerable and who don't have a regular doctor. Let's make sure that they get the vaccines as quickly as those of us who've been on the phone with our physician for the last 4 or 5 weeks trying to get our parents signed up for that vaccine.
Mark, I think Biden is very sincere. He's come out of the gate pretty strong. Getting it done, that's the unknown right now. You know what? I got to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk more about so many corporate crooks that did not go to jail. And I mean, I've heard a couple of theories on that, and I want to share them with you. Let's do that.
Okay.
Mark Dan, sure, former Ohio Attorney General. This is our segment for workingclassstudies.wordpress.com, workingclassstudies.wordpress.com. You can find Mark's article there and many good articles there. Tom Conway, president of the Steelworkers, proud sponsor of the show, is also going to be joining us back in a few minutes. Once again, you're listening to America's Workforce.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The United Steelworkers of America represent over 70,000 workers in the state of Ohio. Steelworker members enjoy the benefits of some of the best contracts of any workers in the world. Many of your friends, neighbors, and relatives are members of one of the most effective democratic unions in our country. With the pressures unorganized workers are under in today's economy, you need to join them. So call the Steelworkers Organizing Office at 216-292-5683 or toll free at 1-800-443-3752.
The AFL-CIO is a proud sponsor of America's Workforce Radio. United by efforts to raise wages, listeners to this show and workers all across America are beginning to turn a corner and drive the economic debate. The AFL-CIO is comprised of 12.5 million working people from 56 unions, but we stand with and fight for everyone who is working for a better life. For more information about our Raising Wages agenda, go to AFLCIO.org.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And we're back. It's America's Workforce. And don't forget, we're available on various platforms. We just added Pandora, so the list now includes Pandora, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, as well as Spotify. Let's go back to our live line, rejoin Mark Dan. Mark, former Ohio Attorney General, now in charge of Dan Law, doing a lot of consumer law, dealing with predatory lenders. I want to talk more about the people that did not go to jail in that financial meltdown of 12, 13 years ago. And I just want to share this with you. I heard that because at one time, the Democrats got a lot of money from unions because unions were very powerful. Back in the mid-50s, union density was like 35%. So there was a good relationship. But, Mark, you know unions have declined in membership over the years. There was a concerted campaign by the right wing, by conservatives, by courts to kind of dismantle. And we saw that with the Janus decision just a couple of years ago. So that being said, the Democrats needed to go somewhere to fund their campaign. So where did they go? They went to Wall Street. And that is the reason why you see the Democrats not being very vigilant with the corporate criminals of today. Any thoughts on that? How do you feel about that point of view?
Oh, well, believe me, the pressure I felt as a Democratic attorney general, because I was very aggressive in going after these Wall Street firms, was intense, and from members of my own party, from elected officials in my own party. Yes, that is absolutely a trend. I mean, we could do a whole segment on campaign finance reform and why the current way that campaigns are financed has been a tragedy for working class Americans. For honest and honorable Americans who want good government. It's got to change. There's got to be transparency. We need a constitutional amendment to allow there to be limitations on what people spend. I mean, at the end of the day, there really need to be government finance campaigns, or you're going to continue to run into this because it just takes millions and millions of dollars. And the Georgia Senate race, I mean, both sides, and now Labor was active there too, both sides spent $100 million. in the Georgia Senate race. I mean, that's just mind-boggling. And where do you get that? The only place you can get that are from really rich people. And if your politicians spend their day hanging out with really rich people, a couple of things happen. One is they start to think of them as their friends and their contemporaries, and start to think, well, why can't I live like that guy? So they end up being much more tempted, like Larry Householder in Ohio and like other public officials, to engage in outright bribery in order to achieve that, or to take favors from them. And it's the same thing in the law enforcement world. It's hard to go after. It's really hard to go after corporate criminals. It takes a lot more work. There's accounting involved. Cops don't like accounting. Prosecutors they'd much rather have blood and gore stuff to deal with. So it takes a commitment to go after those folks. But look, the money that the pharmaceutical industry has put into Congress and into the presidential races over the years is immense. I mean, it's immense. I mean, look at how they, even in healthcare reform, they came out on top. I mean, they there's forced monopolies that pharmaceutical companies have, and then they've taken that license and they've used it to hold 30,000 training sessions to convince doctors that there's no difference between, or that dependence on opioids is different than addiction, and somehow dependent people who die are better, or are better off medically than the addicted people that die from their product. The tobacco industry did it for years. I mean, at the end of the day, I think it comes down to campaign finance reform is the ultimate answer. Or crazy idea, let's elect some Democrats with some balls. And I mean that for both men and women who are willing. Yeah. There was a speaker or a majority leader of the House named Hale Boggs who had a great saying, if you can't eat their food, drink their booze, screw their women, and then still vote against them in the morning, you don't belong in the U.S. Congress. Where are those guys? That's what we need. What we need much more of now. The opportunity, and this is what I talked about in my post on the Working Class Studies blog, is the opportunity with Biden is, I think he's run his last race for president. I think he's spent, 40 years groveling to corporate interests for money. He woke up yesterday morning free of that. I agree with you. I think he's got a good heart and a strong soul. And I knew his son, Beau, very well. We were both attorneys general at the same time. And I know what a class guy he was, and an honorable guy. But for years Biden was because Delaware has where all the corporations are headquartered. He was a active corporate shill in the Senate. But maybe he woke up yesterday morning and realized, I don't have another race to run. I can do this right. Merrick Garland comes not from a tall building Wall Street firm or a tall building Cleveland law firm. The new attorney general. He comes from the court. He's been almost a lifetime government servant, as opposed to a guy that was, that's been through the revolving door like Eric Holder, like Bill Barr. I don't want to think about him anymore.
I hear you.
Isn't that beautiful? We can get up every morning and not think about Donald Trump, at all. and it's going to get easier and easier as which is why I'd like to get this impeachment thing over with, because I just, honest to God, I don't care whether he's impeached. I just don't want to have to think about him again.
I hear you.
I'm enthusiastic about that possibility. Maybe those guys, maybe those guys will get it right. And I got to tell you something: you will never be able to stop the Democratic Party if they start to get those things right. If they start really making a priority of minimum wage, of infrastructure, and putting people to work on improving the quality of people's lives, on lowering the barriers to good health care, to deliver on this stuff, they will build a majority that will last. I don't know. There was a guy named Franklin Roosevelt who, at a very difficult time in American history, built a Democratic coalition that lasted for 20 years. Maybe we could do that again. So I think I'm hopeful. That's my prayer and my hope for Joe Biden is that he's going to be that guy. He's realized that he doesn't have to grovel to these people anymore. And equal justice will prevail in this country in the next 4 years. So let's be optimistic about it.
You got it. Time will tell. We're going to leave it on that note. Mark, it's always a pleasure. I got to check in with you more. You're a fireball. I love having you on the show. And you know what? We didn't get into bankruptcy reform, and that's something I want to get into in a future show, because Biden in 2005, I saw this in your post, he supported the Reform Act, and that screwed a lot of people, especially students with their student loans. That's another show.
And it's another one of those things. He has a chance to get it right this time. Elizabeth Warren and Jerry Nadler have introduced a fabulous bill to reform the bankruptcy system, to make it more accessible and to make it meaningful. Corporations are good at bankruptcy. Look at Donald Trump. But individual bankruptcies are much more challenging. So I would love to come on and just talk about that for a segment whenever you have time.
Very good. All right, you take care, my friend. Be safe, and we'll
thanks,
be in touch, I promise.
All right, thanks.
All right. Mark Dan, former Ohio Attorney General. Dan Law, there's two N's in that. DanLaw.com for more information. And workingclassstudies.wordpress.com for that segment that he put together. All right, we're going to break when we come back. Tom Conway, President of the United Steelworkers. He's next on America's Workforce.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as health care and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce is being brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining, atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
Mesothelioma is a rare type of cancer caused by exposure to asbestos. If you were exposed to asbestos and have mesothelioma or lung cancer, the trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at kellyandferraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And we're back. It's America's Workforce. And don't forget, we are available on various platforms. Now, we just added Pandora. And the list now includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, as well as Pandora. And you can follow us on Twitter at AWF Union Podcast. Let's go to line number two. Welcome one of our sponsors, a great one. Comes from the Steele family, which is where I come from. My dad worked at the old Cuyahoga Works in Cleveland, Ohio, local 1298, which is no more. Spent about 40 years of his life there. And speaking of spending 40 years in his entire life is Tom Conway, and he's on line number two right now. Hey, Tommy, welcome back, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you too, Flash. Good to be back.
Yeah, and it's a new day in America. How do you feel, Tom?
Oh, it's pretty exciting. Just watching the events of Wednesday unfold, especially following what had taken place on the 6th at the Capitol, and you just sort of feel like the country just really needs to turn a corner and get refreshed and find a way to move forward together. So it was promising, and even being able to do it in this pandemic crisis and people not being able to go to the city. And I mean, just it is a good feeling. It's unfortunate to see the Capitol sort of ringed with so much security and National Guardsmen and police and to be under siege in that sort of way with razor wire. But look, it is what it is. So, it was a good day.
Well, Biden has taken action here on a couple of fronts. I'm sure you heard about Peter Robb, general counsel, the NLRB. He is gone, and that was an anti-union guy, a union buster there. Marty Walsh is coming in as labor secretary, strong union background, comes to the building trades out of Massachusetts. And I found out yesterday that one of your folks, James Frederick, is going to be involved in the OSHA department, Occupational Safety and Health Administration. I want to talk about that because it's one of your guys, and I have to ask you, how did this all materialize, Tom?
Well, look, Jim's been a safety professional for a long time, many years. He comes to us, to the steelworkers, through a merger with the rubber workers, and Jim was a former rubber worker, and then spent 25 years on our staff and rose to the assistant director position within our health and safety and environmental department. And look, managed a lot of different industries, bargained in a lot of industries, ran a good safety and health program that promoted both safety in the workplace as well as unionization in the workplace. And Jim's got sort of the academic credentials and the background he needs from being on the street and with in local unions and in workplaces, making sure that problems are corrected. So he just is exactly the right selection right now to get OSHA, try and get it back on its feet to see if we can figure out an emergency temporary standard for COVID. And so we're very pleased to have Jim, you know, ending up in this position, and it's an influential one within OSHA, and then we're sure he's going to do good work.
Tom, if you can you tell us how this materialized? I know Biden is very union friendly. He met with Trumka, met with a number of union leaders right out of the gate. Is this something that he reached out to the steelworkers? You reached out to him as far as Jim Frederick? Can you tell us about that part?
Well, look, there's a lot of back and forth. And in the last couple of months, our union has been in direct contact with the transition team. Often I had the opportunity a number of times to speak with the candidate when Biden was running. And then the transition people set up a process, and we were able to put folks together in selection committees and to bring forward names that could be suitable for these jobs that were coming up. And so the search committees were done with labor at the table, and labor had a voice, and we were able to reach a consensus amongst the AFL-CIO unions and other unions after talking with them about Jim. So that it wasn't just the steel workers who pushed Jim forward. It was a lot of other unions, and the Biden administration took that to heart
and
asked him to come into the administration. So when Biden talks about his commitment to unions, he actually did very much follow through on that. And he had the unions at the table in the room, had us, you know, when after that first debate, when he had that train leaving Cleveland, invited me to come join the train ride. And I had the opportunity to ride from Ohio back to Pittsburgh with him and talk about a whole host of things. And it was genuine. So, but Biden understands the role of unions, how collective bargaining can strengthen and get people better livelihoods. And he just understands that's part of the recovery process. So,
yeah,
I think it's going to be a turning point for unions.
Far cry from the previous administration, no doubt, no doubt.
I mean, look, when you talk about him, he had to fire this guy, Rob, who was the general counsel at the NLRB. The guy was clearly biased. He was biased against unions. And so that's not what the National Labor Relations Board was supposed to do. That wasn't their mission, to inhibit unionization. It was exactly the opposite. And so I think Biden did clearly the smart and only thing he could do. But the unions appreciate the move and understand it for what it is.
Tom, let's talk about infrastructure. There are so many jobs that can be created if we can provide the funding, and this money's going to come back. You know, you create those jobs, good union jobs, they're going to spend that money in the community. That money is going to be taxed. I mean, it's a huge benefit, and we need it. How do you feel on that moving forward,
investment,
Tom?
You know, if people think about, it's almost like investing oil in your engine in your car. If you don't maintain things, you're going to find yourself with very heavy costs later. And that's what's going on with our infrastructure. It's aged. It needs replacing. I'm going to give you a number that is staggering. And every time I hear it and say it, it just is, for me, is unbelievable. But the United States, in our water systems, in all the water systems that run beneath our ground, we leak 7 billion gallons of fresh water a day because the piping systems are so old. And in some places, they're still made of wood. When pipes were made of wooden staved barrels, and we just flood out all this clean, potable water that leaks. And so when you think of infrastructure, it's not just blacktop the highway or bridges. While our bridges are in deplorable condition, it's our locks and our dams. It's our electrical grid supply system. It just covers a host of so many things, a broadband, just updating the United States so that our equipment is state-of-the-art. And so where we have buildings that sort of just leak energy and federal buildings and state buildings and schools, that rebuilding needs to take place. And for every $1 billion invested in infrastructure, there's about 18,000 to 20,000 jobs that are created. And these jobs bring with them skills and longevity. I mean, this is a long project. It will take some number of years to begin to get this going. But that's how you drive an economy. You don't drive it through financial engineering, and you don't drive it through developing algorithms and banking systems. You do it by building things and creating things. And an investment in the U.S.'s infrastructure will return all those things. It'll solidify a tax base. It'll help communities have a tax base to grow and thrive. It'll create good payrolls in townships that need it so badly. And it'll offer skills and an opportunity to a group of young people who are struggling, trying to find their way forward and what field do they go into. So it needs skilled tradespeople. It needs engineers. It needs planners. There's a whole host of skills that America gains by making a sizable investment in our infrastructure needs.
Tom, I think Biden knows that. There's a lot of people that know that. The problem is getting it done, and I'm just hoping. I mean, he seems to be a uniter. He knows Congress. The guy's been there for almost 50 years. We've got to get everybody together on this issue. And even the Chamber of Commerce, which is a conservative organization, they're pretty much saying the same thing you're just telling me on a labor show. So it's got to get done.
You don't need to be a rocket scientist to figure out that if you don't take care of your stuff, if you don't take care of your house, it's going to go to shambles. If you don't maintain your car, it's going to go to shambles. And if you don't maintain your infrastructure, it's going to become unusable for you, and you're not going to be able to function in an economy. So this is an investment that the country just has to make. And Biden said in his inaugural address the other day, there were enough people to bring the rest along. So I think in this Congress, there are enough people on both sides who can sit down and look at this realistically and move forward. And so there are Republicans who want to see this as a benefit to their states and who will get on board with this. I think we can get this done.
We have to get it done. Tom, I'm going to leave it on that note. Tom Conway, president of the United Steelworkers, proud sponsor of America's Workforce. Great stuff at usw.org. A lot of good videos there. Plenty of good information. You take care. You be safe. And we'll be in touch, okay?
All right, my friend. Take care of yourself.
All right, that's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up on Monday, the Kentucky AFL-CIO and the Transportation Trades Department of the Labor Federation. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful weekend.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.